for that poem. Amen. Fantastic. We flew in our soloists all the way from California. Budget is no option. Amen. We flew in Brother Brandon from California. Praise God for him and all that the Lord is doing. And I want y'all to look around before you take your seat. Look around. Look at what the Lord is doing. Praise God for all of you moms on today. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. I am just overwhelmed with joy with the creativity of our special events ministry and all that we are doing this weekend. The ladies were here on yesterday and they threw down. I'm here to tell you, praise God for our women's ministry, special events ministry, and everyone else that's partnering. Brothers, thank you all for setting up, breaking down, and getting everything ready for today. Now, even as you stand, we have areas on our campus for you to capture what's taking place. If you notice, to my left and your right in the rear, there's a little photo area for you to capture the moment. We also have a wonderful signage in the yard, because I'm discovering if you don't capture a picture, it didn't happen. Amen? Amen. So spend a little time. Don't run out of here. I know you got reservations. I'm only going to preach a couple of hours here. And so it's good to see so many of our students that are home for the holidays. Amen. Several of y'all are here visiting Mama. If you're here from out of the city limits to visit Mama, lift your hand if you don't mind. If you don't live here no more. Come on. Come on. Give it up for them. Look at my boy over there. What's up, man? Praise God. What a joy. What a joy. Amen. We got some guests from Concord in the house on both sides. I'm full right now. Amen. I hope y'all brought your amens. All right. Ruth chapter 1. Now, even before you turn to Ruth, you should have your sermon note card here. But if you are you a more contemporary, if you open up your YouVersion Bible app and hit the little area in the bottom right where it says more, click on that. It'll take you to live events. And once you click on live events, you'll be immediately taken to the Greater Bethlehem page there. And you can download a digital copy of the notes and save those. And you can actually write right into your device. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all have gone paperless, and I get it. I'm right there with you. But for those of us in the old school world, if you have your scriptures, amen. Ruth chapter 1. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to read the whole book, but we're going to go through the whole book today. Amen. I'm all by myself up here. Everybody say, did he say the whole book? And I want you to just bear with me. I'm going to read just a couple of verses that will give us enough to sit down on. Amen? Amen. Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse, I'm going to start at verse 19. Those that have found it, say, I've got it. Amen. I like you right there. Amen. So the two of them traveled until they came to Bethlehem. When they entered Bethlehem, the whole town was excited about their arrival. And the local women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara," she answered. "For the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has opposed me? And the Almighty has afflicted me." So Naomi came back from the territory of Moab with her daughter-in-law Ruth, the Moabitess. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. I want to put a tag on this text, and for just a few moments, I want to preach from the subject, snatching victory out of defeat. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for just the joy that we share even now. Father, we're grateful for the creativity displayed at everything that we share thus far. Father, we thank you for laughter. We thank you for fun. We thank you for fellowship. And Father, we acknowledge that there are many in our midst on today whom Mother's Day is a point of disappointment, even others, sadness. So, Father, we pray by faith that you speak to each of us during this season. Lord, as we walk through being healed in our hearts, we pray that today would be no different. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to let our guards down so that your Spirit can minister to us underneath the skin. Father, we want to be better. not just for ourselves, but for your glory. So we submit this prayer to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So honored to have you all here on today. Bless the Lord. They're still coming in. Come on in. Come on in. At the top of your sermon notes, you will find the message moment. And the whole purpose of the message moment is to make sure that if you don't hear, recall, or understand anything that I have said on today, that this will at least be something you can take home with you. Look at the message moment for today. God has a purpose for your pain, and it involves a process. God has a purpose for your pain, and it involves a process. One of my favorite scenes in The Color Purple was Miss Sophia returns from jail. And when she returns, it seems as though her entire life has shifted. She makes a statement, "I don't know y'all no more." But even in the midst of not knowing y'all no more, she goes to this deep, dark place. She doesn't talk like she used to talk. That fire that was so a part of her character seems to have died. It seems as though life has made her bitter. But in that scene where things begin to shift, I see her laughing and I see her coming up with her shoulders. Where she begins to come alive again. See, what Miss Sophia teaches every single one of us is that bad things will happen to us. There is absolutely nothing any of us can do about bad things happening to us, but what we do control is how we respond to the bad things in our lives. Every person under the sound of my voice, either by consequences of your choices or simply by the evil and ill intentions of someone else, you found yourself on the receiving end of some bad news. And as a consequence of the badness, if you aren't careful, the badness will shift and turn to bitterness. I'm preaching to myself. And as a result of being embittered, you will find that you are stuck at the point of the bad event happening in your life. Meaning you can't get past the bad because you're focused on the bad and what had happened. And as a consequence, you can't move forward to what God is trying to do in your life. Somebody say it's a process. And I know every person under the sound of my voice, you could grab the microphone, knock me down, and whine about how bad life has been to you. But I know there's somebody else who can knock that person down and can testify that although I've been through many dangers, toils, and snares, I can still raise my voice. I can still lift my head because I understand it's a process. See, that's how you snatch victory out of defeat. You don't snatch victory out of defeat by being sad or mad because something bad happened, but you snatch it out by recognizing that God has you in a process. So anybody here is in a process this morning, I don't know, baby, I'm by myself. Have you found that it seems as though as soon as you turn out of something, you turn into something else? And all you're trying to do is make a little progress for the kingdom of God, but badness seems to surround you. Somebody say it's a process. Let me help you. Don't allow bitterness to get the best of you. Oh, I don't know who I'm preaching to. Don't allow bitterness to get the best of you. Have you lost your smile? Have you lost the joy? Oh God. Have you lost that personality that used to shine? In our passage for today, the book of Ruth, it's the most powerful short story that I've read in Scripture. It's so beautifully written and presented. It helps me to understand the power of God in the life of every believer. I want you to get ready to write. So we're finding about this woman named Naomi. Somebody say Naomi. Naomi's life demonstrates, get ready to write, God's providence. God's providence. That's a huge word, but simply means God directing the circumstances of our lives so that His will is accomplished. God navigating the circumstances of our lives. Now, circumstances could be good and they could be bad. They could be wonderful and they could be sad. But God, the master architect, is orchestrating those circumstances so that His perfect will is fulfilled. Naomi opens in the book of Ruth. In the first chapter, we find this powerful context. During the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land. A man left Bethlehem in Judah with his wife and two sons to stay in the territory of Moab for a while. Somebody say, for a while. Stop right there. So we see this reference to a famine in the land of Bethlehem, in the land where the Israelites were established. And so we're quickly riveted to Judges chapter 2, verse 16, where it says, the Lord raised up judges who saved them from the power of their evil, but they did not listen to the judges. Instead, they prostituted themselves with other gods, bowing down to them. They quickly turned away from their fathers who had walked in obedience in the Lord's commands. They did not do as their fathers did. See, there is a famine in Israel as a result of their disobedience to the Lord God. So they're suffering consequences as a result of choices. And so what happens is this brother, Elimelech, he takes his family, his wife and his two sons, and he goes to find food in Moab. But I need for you to understand that he didn't go on his own will. He didn't understand that he was walking in the providence of God. Because it was God's will to ensure that his people, the lineage of David, would be fulfilled and that they would have a leader. But don't stop at David. Because David's line is the same lineage that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be. Y'all let me teach for a little while. And so what's happening in the text, the providence of God led Elimelech and his wife Naomi to leave. Somebody say leave. Now they left during a famine. And they made their way to this area called Moab. And they get there and things are at least better as it relates to food. And his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they get them some wives, Orpah and Ruth. And it's a beautiful situation. You got everybody married, everybody's happy. Then Elimelech dies. Somebody say he died. Elimelech dies, and it's a sad situation for Naomi. She's lost her husband, her provider, her protector. And then many of you can testify that oftentimes in life, it goes from bad to worse. Oh, I'm preaching to myself. Has it ever gone from bad to worse? I mean, you lose your job, then you lose your car. Oh, ain't got no help up in here. You lose a relationship, and then they get somebody else. Y'all ain't gonna help me up in here. That was a good one, I thought. I thought that was a pretty good one. I worked on that one, Thea. They didn't. So it goes from bad to worse. And then in 10 years, the fullness of time, says Ruth chapter 1, her two sons die. Bad to worse. It's a bad scene. Here's a principle I want to give you. When we look at our problems or pain too closely, then that's all that we will see. When we look at our problems or our pain too closely, that's all we'll see. But if we would back up, we could see a greater picture. We could see a wider perspective. Y'all help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, back up. See, again, the providence of God refers to him directing the circumstances of life. So famine led Elimelech to Moab, but God had greater plans. God moved them to this place, and consequently, he dies. Victory is snatched out of defeat when we work through our grief and pain so that we keep ourselves open to God's will and plan for our lives. In other words, God's glory is the goal. The first thing I want you to see, I want you to get ready to write. I want you to see Naomi's loss. Naomi's lost. Naomi's lost. Now, Naomi lost a lot, but she didn't lose all. Ah, God. And unless you are looking at your situation from a wide perspective, you will miss those things that are left behind. The Lord left her just enough to get by. And see, what happens to us is we don't like to look at the just enough. We want to focus on what we lost, the money we used to make, the life we used to have, the freedom we used to experience. But God wants me and you to understand, don't focus on that. Focus on what I've left you with. So in this text, we have a trio of widows without protection, without provision. Now, I've discovered that losses will make us a realist. Losses will make us a realist. Look at verse 8. Naomi said to them, still in chapter 1, each of you go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to the dead and to me. See, Naomi is declaring, I cannot give you what you need. There is a theme throughout the book of Ruth I want you to get. That theme is rest. Everybody say rest. Rest. Come on, say rest. Rest. She says in verse 9, may the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband. She kissed them and they wept loudly. So in my own experience, I've discovered that the pain of loss can make us focus on the wrong thing. See, we spend time focusing on the loss and we lose sight of what's left. Somebody say, God is still there. God is still in the midst of your loss. Woman, man, child of God, he is still in the midst of your life. So we see Naomi's loss. Secondly, we move on in the text. We then see Naomi's lament. Naomi's lament. Lament means to be in a position of sadness. The lamentations are written to express the displeasure that many of us may have. See, Naomi's lament is like many of ours. When she lost her husband, when she lost both of her sons, her faith became weak. God, I'm not so super spiritual. Where when things go wrong, I don't have times when my faith begins to waver. Maybe that's just me, but oftentimes when I'm really going through some stuff, not some superficial stuff, but some real stuff. When you pray for a loved one and the Lord still takes them home. When you pray for a relationship and it still doesn't work out. Naomi is lamenting. Her faith has become weak. The text is moving. It says, but Naomi, verse 11, replied, return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Go on home. Return home, my daughters. Go on now. For I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me to have a husband tonight and to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Somebody say, she's a realist.
She's keeping it real, and she goes on to call her name as Mara. Here are some principles I want to give you based upon Naomi's lament. Number one, don't let your bitterness get the best of you. As we go through grief, if it is not properly processed, then our grief will consume us. When we get stuck in grief, we become bitter, and ultimately death has consumed two lives. I need you to catch that. Death has consumed the one who died, but then death has consumed the one who lived, because you begin to live as though you were dead. And as a consequence, bitterness has a tendency of making us forget. See, this emotion that is so frequent in the body of Christ, and even more frequent in the world at large, this emotion has done the most damage to most of our lives. That's why it's so quiet right now. We have become embittered towards even the possibility that God can make a difference. See, when you no longer believe that God can, then bitterness has gotten the best of you. When you no longer believe that God can heal, that God can restore, that God can bring two living souls back together, then you've allowed bitterness to get the best of you. Naomi. She had begun to lose hope that God could redeem, that God could restore, that God could regulate. My mama, thank you, Lord, for Mother's Day. What a good remembrance. She would always tell me, Stevie, if your problem ain't greater than a dead Jesus, God can handle it. And you know, I begin to think about my problems in comparison to a dead Jesus. And I recognize that if God can raise Jesus from the dead, that he can handle anything that I face. But if I allow my bitterness to get the best of me, I'll never make it to God's deliverance. So the text is moving. Verse 22. So Naomi came back from the territory of Moab with her daughter-in-law, Ruth the Moabites. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Naomi left Bethlehem during a famine. That's verse 1. Yet she returned during the harvest. See, I'm telling you, your bitterness will blind you to see what's happening behind the scenes. Because if you're so embittered that you don't see the hand of God, you may miss your blessing. So we got Naomi's loss. We have Naomi's lament. I'm almost finished. Thirdly, we have Naomi's strategy. Oh, I like this by myself. Naomi's strategy. Somebody say, come on in, Boaz. Oh, that was so weak. Somebody say, come on in, Boaz. Boaz makes his way into the scene. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. Boaz had it going on, y'all. Boaz had land, money, servants, male and female. Boaz was in charge. I almost said it. Yes, he was. Boaz comes upon the scene. And so what's happening now is, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. He was a prominent man of noble character from Elimelech's family. His name was what? Boaz. Ruth the Moabitess asked Naomi, will you let me go into the fields and gather fallen grain behind someone with whom I find favor? Now listen, she wasn't going to reap. She was going to get the leftovers of the reapers. Oh God, I wish I had a little more time up in here. Naomi answered her, go ahead, my daughter. So Ruth left and entered the field to gather grain behind the harvesters. She happened to be, I'm feeling my help now. There ain't no such thing as happens to be within the framework of the providence of God. Oh, she happened to be in the portion of the field belonging. There he is again. Boaz, who was from Elimelech's family. So in the text, there is a plan for food, but there's also a plan for favor. Oh, I like this. See, once they obtain the food, then they plan for the seed. Oh, I like that. Y'all will catch that on the way home. So in this text, listen, she goes and then she does what she's supposed to do, and she's working in the field, and everything is going good. Then she makes the pleasure of Boaz. Somebody say, favor ain't fair. Now, Ruth was a good-looking young woman, and Boaz took notice. Boaz said, hey, bro, who is that? That one in that pink suit. Who? What's that? And the brother man said, oh, that's Ruth. That's Ruth. Yeah, she's nice. That's Ruth. Well, you tell her to go on, get what she needs. And let her know I got my eye on her. Somebody say favor. There's something that was stirring up in Boaz. He knew he was a redeemer. He said, whoa. But he wasn't first in line. So in the fullness of time, they make acquaintances. I'm cutting across the field. They make each other's acquaintance, and there's fondness for both, for each of them towards each other. And then they begin to have the talk. He said, I've noticed you and I've heard about you. You ought to be praised for what you've done. For your mother-in-law. So days and weeks pass, and we make our way to chapter 3. Here's the strategy. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, shouldn't I find, there it is again, rest. Somebody say rest. For you, so that you will be taken care of. Now, isn't Boaz our relative? Haven't you been working with his female servant? Here it is. This evening, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Oh, God. Somebody say strategy. Wash, put on perfume oil, and wear your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor, but don't let the man know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, notice the place where he is lying. Go in and uncover his feet. And lie down. Then he will explain to you what you should do. Now listen, don't allow our culture to bleed into their culture. I need you to remember the providence of God. Also remember the ultimate plan was to secure rest. But let me teach a principle that's found in the strategy of Naomi. Here it is. Young women, there is a wisdom that you are missing because you won't listen. I'm going to drink right there. I felt that right there. Let me say it one more time. Now y'all woke. Here we go. Young women, there is a wisdom that you are missing because you won't listen. And so what's happening in the text is Naomi is creating a strategy. Now understand, she was bitter and calling herself Mara because she had lost hope, because she thought she had lost all. But somehow the chance encounter of meeting Boaz has reminded her, wait a minute, God has a plan all along. So now let me tell you, Ruth, what you ought to do. Oh, young women, let me tell you something. We are missing something generationally. See, because you've got a lot of information in your hands does not mean that you have wisdom in your head. That's okay. Look at what happens in the text. This is Naomi talking to the young girl. She said, first of all, I need you to clean up. Oh, God, I feel that. I need you to clean yourself up. clean up. Get it together. Put a little perfume. Oh, God. Make yourself. Somebody in the choir said, put some lip gloss. I'm not sure if they have that then, but it sounds good. But then watch this, y'all. She said, once you clean up, I need you to dress up. Oh, God. See, this is not manipulation. This is strategy. This is the way this culture went through the process of mating. Clean up. Dress up. Then I need you to show up. Oh, I like that by myself. Now look, watch this. Now don't read too much in the text. There is nothing overtly sexual happening in the text. She uncovered his feet. Stay with me now. I know we got children. That's why I chose this text. She uncovered his feet. That was, as we can interpret the culture, simply a demonstration. Watch this, that I know you've been looking at me. Y'all don't feel me up in here. And I need you to know, I'm looking at you too. Ruth wasn't being forward. She was simply letting him know, I hear you, I see you, and I'm interested. Oh, boy. Oh, but if we would but listen. Just imagine the headaches we would not have had. Just imagine the joy we may have experienced, but let's keep pressing. So I need you to understand something. The strategy worked. So the text goes on in chapter 3. You know, he wakes up and finds her there. And he understands with his feet being uncovered what that meant. And they have a conversation. They talk. They don't touch. Oh, God. Oh, man. If we would but trust the wisdom of our elders, every encounter does not have to lead to a horizontal engagement. Oh, I got children up in here. And the reason many of us are missing out on our Boaz is because we went too fast. We got to go. Boaz takes notice. He engages. Boaz is like, yeah, but I don't have first authority. There is another gentleman who is further down the line than I am, and I have to be humble and noble. I have to give him the right of first refusal. But I need for you to know something. I'm liking what I'm seeing. Boaz, let her know. I'm liking what I'm saying. So she goes back home and she went into her mother-in-law, verse 16, and she told her everything that happened. And here's wisdom again from Naomi in verse 18. Naomi said, my daughter, wait until you find out how things go. For he won't rest. That rest is again. He won't rest until he resolves this today. Oh man, you've been out there searching. You've been, oh God, help my mind. You've been trying to make it happen on your own. But if you would find a place of rest and let the Lord work that thing out. Well, the text goes on in chapter 4. We're already in chapter 4, 29 minutes in. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They make their way, and he goes and has this conversation with the initial kinsman redeemer. And he said, listen, bro, I'm gonna pass. I'm going to allow you, Boaz, to redeem this family. So verse 9, Boaz, let's make sure we got witnesses. Verse 9 of chapter 4, you are witnesses today that I am buying from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife. Somebody say my wife. To perpetuate the deceased man's name on his property so that his name will not disappear among his relatives or from the gate of his hometown. You are witnesses today. I'm finished, y'all. I'm finished. We got Naomi's loss. We have Naomi's lament. We have Naomi's strategy. And I'm finished. Last one. We have Naomi's son. Oh, I like that by myself. I know you think, wait a minute. Naomi can't have no children. She told, oh, just read the text. Just read the text. So, verse 13 of chapter 4, Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Oh, God, now we're getting to it. He slept with her, and the Lord granted conception to her. That's the providence of God. And she gave birth to a son. Verse 14, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a family redeemer today. May his name become well known in Israel. Verse 15, he will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. Indeed. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Look at verse 16. Naomi took the child, placed him on her lap, and became his nanny. The neighbor women said, a son has been born to Naomi. Y'all ought to be shouting up in this church right now. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Wait a minute. I ain't there yet. I got to come back to that. See, God is trying to give you something greater than what you lost. Woo! God, help me up in here. God is trying to give you victory in the midst of your defeat. Oh, but child of God, if your bitterness is too great, you're gonna miss your blessings. So watch this. Hold on. See, even during grief, keep your gaze on God. You better write that down. You're gonna forget that. Even while your tears are shedding, keep your eyes, your gaze upon God. Number one, it's never too late for God. And number two is, if it's not greater than a dead Jesus, thank you, Mama, God can handle it. Number two, even while you're waiting, keep believing the promises. Pastor, what are you talking about, the promises? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Keep believing the promises. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Keep believing his promises. I'm trying to close, but the third one is this. Even after a loss, God can make your ladder greater. I'm done. Y'all forgot already. The story opens up with Naomi losing her son. But the story ends with Naomi getting another son. Is there a witness in the house that can testify that the end is not the end with God? I need somebody to help me close. I've exhausted my strength, but is there anybody here that can open up your mouth and say, God has not forgotten. He's not forgotten, daughter of God. He has his eye on you, and he has his eye on you. Somebody say, God has not forgotten. Because in the text, it goes on to talk about David. And in my mind, I can recall that David was the father of somebody special. Let me see if I can read it. These are the family records. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahum. Nahum fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. I'm trying to close, but I'm making my way to Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, the text is still moving. Because after we get David, we got David fathering Solomon by Uriah. Solomon fathered Rehoboam. Rehoboam fathered Abijah. Abijah fathered Asa. Asa fathered Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat fathered Joram. Joram, don't get tired on me now. Father Uriah. Uriah fathered Jotham. Jotham fathered Ahaz. Ahaz fathered Hezekiah. Hezekiah fathered Manasseh. Manasseh fathered Ammon. Ammon fathered Josiah. Josiah fathered Jeconiah. Jeconiah fathered Shealtiel. Shealtiel Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel Abihud. Abihud Elkayam. Elkayam Azar. Azar Zadok. Zadok Akim. Akim Elihu. Elihu Eliza. Let me catch my breath. Eliza fathered Nathan. Nathan fathered Jacob. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. Is there a witness in the house that can testify that God has not forgotten? God has not forgotten. God has not forgotten. Say yes. 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 I got nothing left, but my soul is happy. Is there anybody here? All you needed to hear today was that God had not forgotten, that he remembers your name. He remembers your address, and he remembers your situation. Child of God, give your neighbor a high five and say, God has not forgotten. Give God a hand of praise. Come on, come on. Hey, hey. Oh, God is good up in hell. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, we thank you. Father, we bless you in this place. Father, please don't let our bitterness get the best of us. Your providence is real. Father, may we not miss your movements in our lives. How you bring us from place to place. Lord, you're trying to do something in us and through us. But Lord, our bitterness can get the best of us. So Lord, help us to do as Naomi. And when faced with the defeats of life, Father, may we dig into those defeats and snatch out our victory. Lord, you've not forgotten about us. You have a plan for our lives. Your will is perfect for our lives. So Father, we glorify you even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our faith that may be weak, and even in the midst of situations that didn't work out the way we desired. Oh, but we bless you collectively in this place, because you alone are worthy. We glorify you, we honor you now. In the perfect name of Jesus Christ, let everybody say amen. Amen. Now, if you're able, stand up on your feet and give God a hand of praise. Come on, only if.